Welcome everyone to NerdWide.com's weekly podcast titled Hero Cravings The Multiverse. We cover and break down all Marvel TV shows, Gotham and Black Lightning, episode by episode for you, the listener. I'm your host, Tyler Haynes, with the man himself, Chris Rivers.
Hola, mi amigos.
So, in case you didn't pay attention to last week, or, you know, hadn't been around for a little bit, things are going to be a little bit different from here on out. Instead of just Hero Cravings, we decided to break the shows apart, put them into their own little podcast group, because we didn't give these amazing shows the time they truly deserved, in my opinion. So we kind of split it out. We talked about it for a little bit. So from here on out, there are two different Hero Cravings being published every single week. This one, which will be Hero Cravings Multiverse Episode 17, and the other part of the episode will be Hero Cravings Arrowverse Episode 17. So you could go check them out separately. So we're not going to have like 3 hours of content. Just talk about like a one giant episode. We kind of broke it down, made it a little bit more accessible for you, the listener. Multiverse, of course, we shows like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Black Lightning, of course, until they eventually cross over to the Arrowverse. We all know they will do it. Gotham and The Gifted, like Legion and anything that pops up like that. The show coming to Freeform. Cloak and Dagger. Yeah, which I saw that little clip, or the clip from it looked really good. And of course, the Arrowverse episodes are going to be, you know, Arrowverse shows, Super Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. But let's get a little bit of housekeeping in, so you can stop. I can stop all this rambling, and we can get on to the show. Don't forget to share, rate, and review this podcast on any of the services you listen to, whether it be Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, anything. Make sure you rate and review us and share us around on all social media. We want more people in here, and the more people we get in here, the more, you know, giveaways we can do, the more segments we can bring onto the show, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's right. Pass us around as much as you want to.
I mean, I'm not complaining.
I'm not either.
Don't forget to check out our interview with comicbook.com's Charlie Ridgely on our podcast channel as well, where we talk to him about his career in Gotham. And speaking of Gotham, it is. We finally got a date. We are coming back in a month-ish. It will be back March 1st. We finally have our show. We finally know what's coming on. Charlie and Chris, we talked about it in the interview. They guessed and assumed to be in beginning of March. And sure enough, here we are in March 1st. Now, that's it for housekeeping. Let's get to the show. This is our 17th official episode, and let me give you a recap of how the show is going to go down. Each week, we go through all the multiverse TV episodes in order as they air. We'll bring you our thoughts and reactions to every episode. That being said, let's jump right into it. We only have two episodes this week, but we have Black Lightning titled LaWanda, The Book of Hope. This show continues to astound me, and I love it.
Yeah.
We kind of start out with Jeff's powers are taking a toll on his body. We see him in pain. He can't sleep. Like, we can see the electricity flowing throughout his veins in his body. And I have no idea what that's about.
It was almost like he had to use the electricity just to be able to get up off the bed.
Right. So it was weird. I don't know what that was about. I'm sure we'll get more into that later down. That being said, Chris Williams, who plays Jeff, or Jeffrey Pierce, I love his acting. And, like, I even tweeted at him during the show. I didn't, of course, get any response back or anything. I said, dude is a badass. His acting is great, and I really feel like, and we might have talked about it with this show a couple weeks ago. No, we talked about it with Gifted last week. But Chris Williams is Black Lightning to me. He does such a great job. He plays a high school principal, but he also plays a superhero who's concerned about the community, and he's great. Period.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like he's not a superhero disguising himself as a high school principal. He's a high school principal who happens to have abilities and uses them for good.
Right.
So
it's more like he's a high school principal first, superhero second. And we got that a lot from the show. We find out Gambi can hack things. Oh, actually, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let me slow it down, Tyler. Spring
it
down.
Slow it down.
Anissa, we left last week with her destroying the sink. And we come back this week. She just got done during sexual relations with her girlfriend. Which wasn't a big deal. I didn't know. Like, it was So she is a lesbian, which is fine and dandy. My thing was, during the show, I didn't know if her parents knew. But, you know, down the show, they said she's with her girlfriend. So I was like, oh, okay. So, all right, whatever. Lala kills Will. Which, if you remember, Will was the guy who, you know, who was under Lala. He was Lala's cousin. And he screwed up the whole thing. He got Black Lightning involved and everything. So he just shot him, like, execution style.
Yeah, he was the punk from the last episode.
Yeah, and I was like, dude. And then Gambi finds Will's body because Black Lightning's still looking for Will because he's trying to get to Lala. Get all this evidence against him. Finds his body in a dumpster. He swipes his cell phone. He even said, he goes, I don't know what it is that was supervillains and leaving people's cell phones on them. He goes, everything's trackable now. Which, dude, in fact, it was.
And that would come back later, not with Will, but with another cell phone.
Oh, true. But Gambi can hack as well, and that further supports our theory, Chris, of him being an Alfred-like character to Black Lightning.
Absolutely.
So Jennifer, which is his younger daughter, is Jeff's younger daughter, says, you know, we kind of clarified, because I was like, how do you not recognize that's your dad underneath the mask of Black Lightning, even if his eyes are covered up? She stated it's... She was asked, you know, do you know who Black Lightning was or what he looked like? And she states, it's looking into Black Lightning's face, it's like looking into a spotlight. So I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense why they couldn't tell that was their daughter. Well, her dad.
They're not seeing what we as viewers see.
Right. So I thought that was... I really enjoyed them putting that into the show. So thank you for that. Jennifer starts dating a guy named Khalil. He wasn't in the first episode, so I felt like that was a weird, you know, plot line. He's very concerned with Jennifer. He's the good guy.
Dude's ripped too.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I looked him up. He's not a well-known actor at all. If you want to look for me, I'll bring his name back up because I had it already on the computer here.
This was it. I felt like that character could have been used in the pilot. Especially with the danger that Jennifer was in the club, and then it was weird that they didn't at least have him in one scene where he shows concern, maybe comes over to the house looking for her or something.
Like, I mean, he wasn't. It was actually he's not listed on the IMDb page.
Wow.
Well, I don't know why I didn't have it. I had to Google. Like, I had to Google Khalil at first. I said Khalil and Black Lightning, and it finally pulled him up, but I had to do some research. So, anyways, it's not that big of a deal. But I'm with you. Why didn't you at least put him in the first episode? It feels like a little bit of a plot hole, especially since like he's very concerned about Jennifer. He's like, you know, you went through all this stuff, but they're officially official now. They are boyfriend and girlfriend. So the very beginning of the episode, it was like a little citywide press conference at the school with Jeff and then some of the leaders in the community.
Real quick, let me interrupt.
Uh-huh.
Jordan Calloway.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on Riverdale.
Oh, that's where I know him from. That's right. Which is another CW show. Oh, that's right. I meant to put that in the notes. I have failed you, listeners. I apologize. We all know names are not my strong suit. Anywho, they have this little conference thing, and there's a girl named LaWanda who was Jeff's, one of his old students. And one of her girls are being pimped out at the hotel, and she's like, you know, she's doing this real type stuff, and it's a big thing, and they can't really arrest Lala because there's no evidence against him. So she stakes out the hotel, and she's got a recorder, she's recording Lala and everything, and then Lala just shoots her point blank. So that's already two kills for Lala this episode.
Yeah, he basically tells her, look, I don't have time for this. And right, he tries to send her off initially.
Yeah.
But she just stands there, so he just pulls out a gun and shoots her like three times. And
it's rough. I love the show. Like, it's just, it's dark, it's gritty, I love it.
But what he didn't know
was that she is recording. She recorded with a cell phone as well in the car.
Yeah.
That captured everything, which, you know, that's going to show up later on, and we know that's going to happen. So Lynn is Jeff's ex-wife, or are they still married? Because I'm pretty sure they're divorced, but they kind of act, I don't know.
I think they're exes, but yeah. They want to be together. She's too,
well,
you know.
She gets on my nerves, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's but like, I think, you know, it's great that you used them to save our kids, but I still don't like you being Black Lightning. Like, dude.
That's very selfish, actually. Yeah, I mean, it's like, standards. Oh, if you're used to save our daughters, that's fine, but don't go save anybody else.
Right. And of course, you know, he's like, no, I'm going to use these powers. And then we find out that Lynn thinks that Jeff is addicted to his powers. And I'm like, I thought that was a weird take on it, because we don't see that like on other shows or movies or anything. People don't say like, oh, I'm addicted to using my powers.
Right.
So I thought that was like a different twist. And she even went to Gamby, and Gamby was like, he's not addicted. He's addicted to doing what's right. And stuff like that. I mean, I completely agree with Gamby.
Well, he tells her, he says, if anything, he's addicted to you. Which is why he hasn't been using his power.
Yeah, because he wants to try to get back with her, and she's not giving him the time of day. Although she kind of wants to. So I wrote these notes as I go. I write all these notes as I'm going out through these episodes, and I share them with Chris, and we collaborate and talk about these things. But this next note I had, it was an extremely Anissa light episode. And then the next scene was all about Anissa. But
yeah.
I thought that was very funny. So she was in a convenience store. She couldn't sleep at night with her partner or her girlfriend, and she was going to get some food because she's trying to figure out these powers. She doesn't have any help from anybody. Little does she know that her dad's Black Lightning. We'll get there. The store she's at gets robbed, and the guy pulls the gun on her, and she kind of just grabs him and throws him. But did she smile on her face?
Yeah, like, she liked it.
Yeah, I just did that. So I feel like we're going to get some, I'm sure they'll meet off on the side somehow, Black Lightning and Anissa. But she's starting to understand her powers a little bit more. And then at the very end of the episode, Lala gets locked up for killing LaWanda. And so while he's sitting in his cell, Tobias enters the scene. He goes to the police station with his, I guess, secretary or whatever she is. And he walks into the police department. They just let him walk in through the back door. And then he walks up to Lala and says, you're just a loose end or something like that, and strangles him with one hand. So
yeah.
I'm pretty sure Tobias has super strength of some sort.
Probably.
But Lala's no
more. Did you pick up, I think it was maybe in this episode, where they allude to the fact that everyone thinks, or everyone thought, Black Lightning was dead. And everyone also thought Tobias was dead.
Well, yeah, it was last episode, because Black Lightning thinks Tobias is dead. Tobias thinks Black Lightning's dead.
Right.
So it's a very weird sort of weaving here, or going in. But I did not expect Lala to be ended off in the second episode, or even so soon like this, you know?
But yeah. I think that was a mistake. I mean, to me, he was that buffer between Black Lightning and Tobias.
Yep.
And now that you don't have that, are we going to get Black Lightning and Tobias even quicker? Because I don't see anybody else that's going to stand between the two.
Right. Unless it's all about the gangs and stuff like that. Because, I mean, still, Tobias is still leader of the 100 gang. But
yeah.
there is no La-La buffer.
Right.
Unless Khalil takes over for Lala. Plot twist.
That, or the plot twist would be, what if Anissa, who, you know, I think we mentioned last week, her name will become Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
What if her powers initially go to her head and she starts doing some things she shouldn't do?
Ooh, I guess we'll find out in the weeks to come. Early numbers for this episode, 0.6 rating, down 0.2, down 0.2, 1.94 million viewers, which is down 0.37 from last week. The next episode is titled LaWanda, The Book of Burial. So, I mean, obviously we're going to bury LaWanda. If you could draw your own conclusion from that. In the last episode, there's only two episodes this week. We've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Episode 509, Best Laid Plans. We start with the uprising on the lighthouse, because, of course, Mac, Flint, and all of them are there with the other groups of the lighthouse. Killed off a couple Kree. Very well done. We find out that what Rose told Melinda May was that Flint has to rebuild the monolith, which makes sense. Didn't see that. Didn't see that as an option, but, you know, now that they say it, I'm like, oh, well, I mean, I guess it makes sense. Throws our rebuild the world theory out the window. But we find out that Voss killed Deke's father. And it's because of the altercation and argument they had between each other, because Voss wanted to kill Quake and keep the team from going back in time and destroying the Earth. Deke's father was like, no, why would we do that? You know, they're going to save us and stuff like that. And so he, with, I think, a knife to the neck or something like that was how he said it.
Yeah.
We find out Tess is back alive. And I asked...
Zombie Tess.
Yeah, Zombie Tess, which is just really weird. We still don't have a how, because that was in my notes. I said, but how? We still really don't know how. But they kept going on that Cassius is a god, and Tess was extremely scared of Cassius. But she understands that she was dead, brought back to life. She knows everything about it. It's not like she's just like, oh, I wasn't dead, you know, sleeping or whatever. So, plot hole averted. Now, Chris, I had this question for you. Coulson and Quake had a little moment. She does want to use her powers and or stay in the future, because she doesn't want the future to become the thing. What if she is the reason for it? So she's like, I'm getting all these titles and names. What if I just want to be Daisy? But Coulson is led the conversation down, you know, you are Quake. This is who you are. You're not World Killer, you're Quake. Now, Chris, what would your decision be? If you were Agent Coulson, would you have said, yeah, you need to stay here in the future? Or would you kept letting her be Daisy?
I would let her do whatever she wants to do.
And why is that, Chris?
Well, I mean, look, it's ultimately her life, yeah. Right? And that's a huge weight to carry if you think you're going to be the person that almost completely destroys the Earth and most everybody that was on it. So if she just wants to be Agent Daisy Johnson, why not?
Right.
It'd be great if the plot twist was that the Earth wasn't destroyed by Daisy, it was destroyed by Fenris. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Not yet. Not until they get this merger figured out.
Yeah. I would just, at this point, I don't know how you can end up actually doing anything but just let her do what she needs to do to the situation.
Now, Chris, that's not the reason you gave me before the show. I want your real reason.
I'm not going to argue with whatever Chloe Bennett wants.
So Cassius has got a population control failure. If anything ever happened where, like, the humans are rioting like they are now, he's got a failsafe. But the failsafe is pretty brutal. He says he's going to, you know, show them hell and bring them fire, because he is the god. Well, he's got bombs throughout this whole lighthouse on this part of the Earth. He's got bombs on the purified oxygen, which would just explode and just cause a giant explosion. We found that out, and that's going to be a big part towards the end of the episode. Snara boards the Zephyr. That was, obviously knew that was going to happen. That was kind of weird. We'll find out Tess is a traitor. Surprise, surprise. Which she really wasn't. There's this little hallway scene with Yo, Tess, Cassius, his guard. And then the blood samples. And then the Terrigenesis crystals and bombs sitting in the middle of the thing. They want the kill switch for the failsafe. Yo-Yo and Tess. Obviously, they really didn't, because they were just stalling Cassius. But what struck me was Cassius recognized Yo-Yo. He called her by her full name. And he was like, Yo-Yo Rodriguez? He goes, "Oh, surprise, surprise. I did not expect to see you here because of your stance." He goes, "This is the opposite stance of what you originally had." And I think that has to go back with last episode, because we saw Yo-Yo kind of wanting to
join.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. And her face is like, "Why would I do that?" So Mac and Co. are the real winners of this episode. While they had Cassius talking, the rest of the lighthouse people were all bunkering on certain levels, and then they took all of the bombs that they could and put them all in one room and just blew away for Cassius to get to them. So basically, the lighthouse are all on their own, which is great. I have Cassius from the Kree ruling them.
Right.
But that to me is Mac, Flint, and Yo-Yo and Tess are all stuck with Cassius now. But they still get in contact with the Zephyr crew, and they're coming back. But before we get to them coming back and the big thing at the end of the episode, Sonara and Quake had a pretty cool low-gravity duke them out in the back of the Zephyr. And I thought that was really cool. And it kind of led into the death, which I was sitting, you know, my wife actually watched this episode with me for the first time in a long time. And I said, "I don't know what it is." I said, "But the tone of this episode, somebody's going to die." So I don't know if it's going to be someone important, but someone will be dead this episode. And it was Sonara. So she...
You are the seer.
See? You like that? But I just... Because shows you could kind of... I don't know. I actually had like a weird feel about it. And the way that they were playing music and everything, I was like, someone's going to die, or someone has to die, pretty much. She's up to, in this low-gravity situation to get Quake, and then gravity cuts off, and she impales herself. You said that they telegraphed it a bit. What does that mean, Chris?
It's more about, I think, camera work than anything. It was the way that she was moving up to it. And the whole time, Daisy's got the pipe.
Right.
Just kind of sticking it out there. And it's, you could see it coming. And I don't know. That was my one complaint probably about the episode, was just that little scene. It wasn't like at the last minute, Daisy pulls the pipe up and,
you could just see it coming.
Yeah, it was telling.
I guess if you think about it, though, if you really want to get into the science of it, in low gravity, you can't change your direction. Sir Isaac Newton says everything in motion stays in motion unless, you know, within a different force. She's already jumping and going towards Quake. Even if she saw it, she couldn't stop it. She also didn't know low gravity was going to turn off at that last minute. So, I mean, I get both sides, you know.
You get both sides?
I get both sides.
Okay.
Okay, we're not going there. We ended off the episode with a pretty big cliffhanger, and we've talked about this since we both watched the episode. Cassius knows that Zephyr is outside getting ready to dunk at the lighthouse. And he leaves a room with a bunch of little weird runes and symbols on it. And he says, they're not the only ones with a seer on their team. And was left at that. And I was like, what? You know? And Chris, you brought to my attention, and I'll let you take over from here, but you read an article that kind of enlightens us just a little bit.
Yeah, there was, let's see, what was that? DLine.com, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where the article showed up. It was a post-mortem on this episode. And there were a couple of questions that kind of came up in that. And the seer is one of them. Now, they talked to, let me see, it was Matt Miltovich who actually wrote this piece. And he got to talk with, I'll use the character names so that people will be more familiar with who I'm talking about. He got to talk with Mac and Yo-Yo about the storyline for this pod. And they have said that, let me find the quote here real quick. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Henry Simmons, who plays Mac, said, "Let me tell you, when I first found out who the person is, I was shocked." He goes on to say, people say, "Oh, it's shocking," but no, shocked. Now, I don't know if that's going to be that it's a complete curveball, and maybe it's someone on the team currently, that it's someone that they left behind in the old timeline who has somehow managed to
remember all come the thing, all, I guess,
but or come all this way, or he made a point of saying shocked. Do we know anyone who maybe has the ability to shock people?
Do we on this show?
I don't know. I'm asking. I'm legit asking because
I've got no idea. That's a good point. A good way to look at that.
So, yeah, it's. This could be one of those kind of show-altering reveals. I'm just in trying to think about who it could be. If it's not someone that we've seen, if it's not someone that's part of a team currently, you've got Lance, who was left behind.
Right.
You've got Bobby, who, you know, she's not even available. They get her for one episode.
Mm-hmm.
I just we mentioned before we started recording, maybe this is another way to bring Brett Dalton back in. Does he somehow pop up and it turns out he's the seer? Because who else would know this team better?
And who else would be okay with being in servitude to Cassius?
Right.
As well, because though? It had to be, I don't know. I feel like we're going to get more Cassius's dad.
Because the thing with Brett Dalton and the characters he's played on this show, the mentality of those characters would be, all right, I'll take this servitude to accomplish my end game.
Right.
So maybe it is. I know that they really like working with him, and they'd probably jump at any chance to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of anybody, because to me, if it's a shock, it's got to be someone that we've seen before.
Right. I wonder if it could be anybody from the Inhumans, since we pretty much know that it's not coming back, the TV show. I wonder if...
Well, the only one that had that power was that kid. Remember? The one that Maximus kept using to try and tell him what was about to happen?
Right.
So,
and well, so did what's her name too?
I don't know if that would be
sister, because we were she controlled the elements.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I wonder if we'll see it next week, or if it's gonna. It would have to be. Even the previews looked really good for the next episode.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tossing game. Let us know on Twitter who you think it could be. Our numbers for this episode, 0.6 rating, which is pretty steady. 2.25 million viewers, which is down 0.16. Next episode is titled Past Life. The preview looked extremely good for this one. You don't want to miss it, trust me. You don't want to miss any of these shows. All right, everybody. It is time for the fan favorite segment, Douche Canoe of the Week. Chris, who gets the honors?
You. No.
I mean, if I was on any of these shows, Chris.
You wouldn't care if you won Douche Canoe of the Week if you were
on
this
show. I'd be on a show.
No, we're giving it again to Lala and the 100. That's 2 weeks in a row.
Well, but it's also going to be his last week. So.
Yeah, it's Lala's last week. And really, there was. I didn't feel like there was a strong candidate from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-mm. You could have did Voss, but I mean.
Yeah, it's.
Lala's definitely much more of a true.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he killed his cousin and then kills LaWanda because he doesn't have time for it. And he just, he thinks he's a god. He's like Esaias. He thinks he's a god. Obviously, found out that was not the truth. Now, Chris, what was your favorite episode?
This was tough. I mean, it was only two episodes. This was a great week for all of our shows that we watch. I really wanted to go Blackening, but I went Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm.
And I went Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because, number one, for me, it seems like we're getting to the end of this pod.
Yeah.
Which makes me happy.
I'm with you there.
And we also got to see, you know, we had the exchange between Coulson and Daisy. I really liked that. But also getting to that question about the seer, you know, leaving us with a little bit of a cliffhanger like that, even if it is going to be for 1 week or so. That was a nice little nugget.
We didn't even talk about, like, Enoch. Dude, he stole the show, if we're going to be honest.
Yeah,
like,
his humor
was great.
He really did. What's going to be kind of interesting is what if I don't know. I don't want to keep throwing theories out about the seer and all that, but yeah, to me that it edged out Black Lightning this week.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to say my favorite was Black Lightning, and like I know it was an extremely tough choice. But like the Black Lightning, the way they handle everything, I had no idea, like the Lala ending with his death and just the way how brutal he was. I was like, I love this show. I love the direction going in. But yeah, I'm with you with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. It was just, we got a lot of things answered. Everybody, I feel like, had equal screen time. And it was a great episode. It showed that the teams are teams, whether, you know, they're with each other or not.
Right.
But the Black Lightning stole it for me. Just because I don't know, I really love Black Lightning. And I can't wait where that show goes.
The thing I'm curious about with Black Lightning, too, is how long are they going to use this entire season to just kind of ground it in itself and then next year move it into the Arrowverse?
Right.
How's that going to work? Because now that we know that Garfield High is a high school in a poorer section or more crime-riddled section of Metropolis, that kind of changes things.
Right.
You know, so now you have the option of having Supergirl or Superman.
Do you think they would put... I feel like they could easily do Black Lightning on Supergirl's Earth and then, you know, leave them on their Earth together so if they ever do need to team up. Like, you know how Flash and Arrow were still trying to get their sea legs together?
Right.
And legs on that matter. Like, they will all occasionally just pop up on their shows. What about Black Lightning and Supergirl? I feel like that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Especially with the relationship aspects of like Anissa and Alex. And
well, here's another aspect too. You could see Anissa, as she becomes her own superhero, maybe her father wants to kind of get her out of there. If it's just, look, this is not a place for you to learn. This is life or death. You need to go to National City.
Right, and see if you can partner up with Supergirl.
Yeah, and for her to go over there and maybe be a part of that team for a while.
That'd be awesome, dude. That'd be really good. Chris.
And maybe she and Alex.
Berlanti and Guggenheim, I hope you're listening because I know you're a weekly listener. Hire Chris for an episode or two. Come on. We could draw you in some numbers with these combos.
I'll cut you a deal.
Yeah. you have anything else for this?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
All right, everyone. That's it for this one. Make sure to review us on all your podcast services and share us around on all your social media platforms. Chris loves to be passed around.
I do.
We talked about that earlier this episode. Follow NerdWide on Twitter at @nerd_wide. You can follow me at @Ty_Haynes, and you can follow Mr. Rivers at @MavTN7. Don't forget, wherever you follow us from, let us know what show you came from. Spark up some conversation with us. We love to talk, obviously. As always, I'm your host, Tyler Haynes, with the man himself, Chris Rivers, and we cannot wait to share our thoughts with you next week. Have a good one.
Bye, everyone.